is Connections, a chance to meet your North Shore neighbors. News, politics, left, center, right, newsmakers, people, issues, features. Connections on MSO News Sports.
All right. I need my microphone here. Hold on a minute. There's always something that screws me up. Oh man, Shevitz. This is why I need Kearns here. Bill Newell is with us this morning. I'm Rick Moore, along with Bill Newell, and this is Connections. Okay, Bill, there we are. Are you with me, Bill?
I hear you.
Okay, I'm not sure I can hear myself. Anyway, we got a full program this morning. A lot going on this weekend. Labor Day weekend coming up, of course, and we will be talking with a number of people, including an administrator from North Shore Community College about a new program they have in conjunction with YMCA Metro North. We'll be chatting with the Gloucester mayor about the fabulous Schooner Festival coming up this weekend. Also check in with Heather Atwood, who is out in a place called Novi, Michigan, out in a suburb of Detroit, and she's got a fascinating story or two, as she always does. And Bill Newell is going to tell us a little bit about his interview with Brian Kelly. So what's up, Bill?
Well, one of the, I think probably the biggest name in North Shore automotive business, the automotive business, is Brian Kelly from Kelly, the auto group. I believe right now they have 12 dealerships. They might be working on a couple of new ones. You'll hear that in the interview coming up a little bit later. But he gives a little update on the state of the auto industry, both nationally, kind of locally as well. A little bit about some of the automobiles and so on. But, you know, we got a chance to meet him. That interview is up on our website. It's a post as well with some other information. So, he's... They'd all started back with his dad back in 1965, so 52 years ago, in Beverly. And, of course, I kind of came on the scene. I do remember Roland D. Kelly Datsun over on Bantoul Street, and that's still there, although Datsun is no longer.
No, I just
they changed that.
I was just going to mention Roland D. Kelly Datsun. That's when I started, and I think the first time I heard of that, I think Norm Durkee was with WESX, and we were covering a parade somewhere, and Kelly Datsun was sponsoring something big there. So, yeah, they do go way back. And it's kind of a big corporation now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, very big. Yeah, you can – I mean, if you just click on their website – and we do have a link to that, by the way, in the story. But, I mean, you see all the dealers, all the brands, and so on. So, yeah, it's pretty big right now, that's for sure.
Well, the other thing, Bill, is on North Shore Today, a lot of stuff up there as we have every morning. We usually get posted by, I don't know, around 8:30 or so. But a lot of activities, and you want to mention some of the stuff that you found? I'm just trying to get to the site right now, and I'm circling around here.
Yeah, that's all right. It's just something to check out every day. We do have some great links on there as well, whether it be to weather, business news, things like that. They're there every single day, and we also have a number of photos. So we got a bunch of photos up there from different folks that, you know, put them out there for in social media. And so some of them are taken this morning. So they're up there on the post as well. It's sort of unique, something different. So we hope that you click on it. Of course, the newscast is always there as well. But there's more than just the newscast on the North Shore Today post. We hope that you do check it out.
All right, and you've got another interview coming up. We've got interviews all over the website. You got to check us out every single day. There's so much that goes on. And in fact, between you and me, I don't know that you and I both get this stuff covered. In other words, I'm not sure I get to all of your interviews and you get to all of mine because we got so much stuff up there.
No, that's true. And we're going to, I think we'll put it up next week, but we'll be talking with Salem State University President John Keenan, former Salem High athlete and now president at Salem State University. Just among other things, and of course, we'll be doing a bunch of football posts as well. We have a fall sports preview from Wakefield High School, but we'll have more fall sports previews coming up in the days ahead from the area schools.
And we also have our football schedule, our football broadcast schedule posted. It's up there at the top. There's a little tab up there, and it says, I believe, football broadcast schedule. There it does. And, yeah, how about that?
It seems like it's like appropriate.
Yeah, for a change. And if you click on it, the schedule is there, and there's also right at the top a printable version, printable. So if you just click on that, you can go to a nice compact version and print that out, take a look at the games that we have scheduled. Of course, that's always subject to change, but we're looking forward to that. We've got a lot of games scheduled. We're going to be touching on quite a bit of the North Shore, Bill, and getting outside of our comfort zone a little bit.
Really? Oh, I I didn't know that.
Well,
that's news to me.
Cape Ann League. We haven't delved into it all that much, and we're gonna dip into it a little bit more this year.
We got a few, and I think there are a couple of changes on that schedule. But for the most part, mm-hmm. if you look at the first weekend, I think we're good to go on that very first weekend.
Absolutely.
We got a bunch of games up there and interviews and so on. Of course, we'll be doing that video football again this year. One weekly game of the week, North Shore game of the week. So a lot of great things happening, and we'll be detailing it all, I think, probably starting Tuesday, Wednesday next week, leading up to the first game, which is a week from tomorrow.
I know. My goodness gracious. Well, finally, Bill, Labor Day weekend, anything of interest that catches your mind in the area? Obviously, we've got the Schooner Festival up in Gloucester, but nice long holiday weekend. So anything that you might want to mention?
No, okay. If you had told me you were going to ask me that, maybe I could have come up with some. No, I don't know. I don't know. It's it's the weekend. I think a lot of teams are scrimmaging. Football teams are scrimmaging mm-hmm. over the weekend, but I know it's also kind of the last hurrah for a lot of folks. So it's funny. This weekend does have a different feel to it nowadays. So many schools going back to school this week.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Many of them started Tuesday, Wednesday, and knocking off a couple of days, and then they take tomorrow off and then come back on Tuesday. So this last week of August isn't like it was years ago because schools are starting, and I get that. That's fine. I'm not complaining about it. But anyway, it's kind of almost – we're kind of back the summer in a way – has systematically kind of ended this week in a way for some folks.
Pretty much,
You know what I'm saying?
But, well, a lot of people.
Unless you're going to college down in the Philadelphia area, then the summer just rolls on, right, for some folks.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me of that. But, that's good. We got a couple more weeks before we have to face that. But I know a lot of other schools in the area, kids have already moved into Boston, out to UMass, and so on. So, I hope it's a restful weekend for you, Bill, and we'll check in with you later.
Sounds good, okay.
All right, thank you, Bill. That is Bill Newell, of course, the voice of the North Shore. We've got so much to take place here this morning, so I hope you'll stay with us. This is Connections on MSO News Sports.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright Double Hung Insert Window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we're joined by Brian Kelly from Kelly Automotive all around the North Shore. And, Brian, welcome. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Brian, the Kelly name and autos kind of, boom, they go together. And it all started back in 1965 with the Roland D. Kelly Datsun, does that sound right, in Beverly?
Well, my father sold Buicks for 23 years prior to that, and he had a used Buick dealership in 1965, October. We got Datsun in 1968.
All right, and that's still around, although Datsun has changed. And tell me about the growth of the company since that time.
Well, in 1983, they changed the name from Datsun to Nissan. And, if you can remember the gas shortage that we had back in the 70s, 73, 74, it really put the small Japanese cars on the map. And, from there we just grew and grew and grew. And then when I took over in the 80s, we advertised a little bit more and we were a little more aggressive. And the dealership just kept selling more cars and more cars. And then we bought a defunct Chevrolet dealership down the street and moved from Rantoul Street to Cabot Street in 1986.
All right. And now, I mean, it would take a while to tell us all the different locations of Kelly Automotive.
Well, we have 12 different locations, working on a couple of more as we speak. We've got 14 franchises, and we look for growth opportunities, and they come along, especially during a recession. You know, when things aren't going that well, people will sell things. When things are going really well, people don't want to sell anything. So we just kind of sit and wait and look for different opportunities to help diversify the automobiles we're able to offer.
Right. So in a way, some autos do well during a downtime economically, and others do better during uptimes. Does that sound fair or not?
No, that's fair. Rule of thumb is you sell the lower priced cars when things get a little more difficult. Gas is a non-issue now. You know, when it was heading for $4 a gallon, people were trading big cars for small cars. Now gas is a non-issue. It looks like it's going to remain stable for the foreseeable future. So people are now buying larger cars again.
And the quality of cars, this is what strikes me over the years, the quality of cars has just changed across the board for automobiles.
It's vastly improved. There's really not a bad car on the market today. There's some that hold their value better, but they're all pretty dependable. They have good warranties. You know, competition is a great thing because each manufacturer wants to build the best car, and it keeps them working on new technologies all the time. And, of course, sport utility has just taken the market over.
What's the percentage of sports utilities in the marketplace?
Well, it's about 50-50. 50-50 between normal passenger cars and sport utility vehicles, and there's more sport utility vehicles coming out all the time.
Yeah. What's the business philosophy at Kelly Automotive?
Well, my father had a saying a long time ago, it was honest sales and excellent service. And that's what we do. We have honest sales and we have excellent service. And my father always told me, take care of your employees. And if your employees are happy, pay them a little bit more maybe than you might think they're worth, and you'll have happy customers.
Yeah. What's the state right now of the automotive industry, say, across the board, big picture, say, looking back a decade or so to now?
Well, leasing is predominant in the industry today. About 60% of the cars we sell are leasing, which is non-conventional financing. And now they're talking about, you know, the electric vehicles, autonomous driving. I think we're 5, 7, 10 years away from electric cars that make sense for every day. There's some now that will go up to a couple hundred miles, but what people don't understand about electric cars, if it's really hot and it's really cold, the batteries get used up a little faster than people might think. And if you put 3 or 4 people in the car that weigh 150, 200 pounds, so if they advertise 200 miles, it might only go 100 or 125 or 150.
I'm not in the auto industry, but I tend to agree with you on that. I also think that self-driving cars are still a ways away as well.
It's a long way away, in my opinion, a long way away. Now, maybe in San Francisco or New York City, it might come sooner. But, you know, Americans, we like our freedom. We like to come and go as we please. I don't want to have to worry about on a Sunday if I'm going to go for a ride. I have to find a station to plug my car in to be able to get home. And I like driving. And, you know, once we take the spirit of the driving out of the automobiles, you can all drive a bread box. You know, it doesn't really matter what the car looks like. You don't have that sex appeal that goes with a lot of automobiles. So I think there's going to be a lot of pushback on the autonomous driving. And I think it's at least 10 years away. Could even be 15, maybe 20. I hope it never comes, to be honest. I like driving. I can't wait to get up in the morning, sit in my Maserati and drive to work. It's fun.
Now, you mentioned Maserati, and that's one of your the autos that you sell. I mean,
correct.
Of course, like, we're familiar with Nissans and Hondas and Volkswagens and those kinds of things. But tell me about that product as such. What's the difference in that product?
Well, Maserati, and we have Alfa Romeo now too to go with it. They're built in Italy. We all know the Italians, you know, shoes and purses, and they're really fabulous with leather. But they have a racing history that goes back many, many years. And a Maserati, there's nothing wrong with the mainstream luxury cars, but if you want to be different, if you want to have a car that's a little louder and a little sexier than the mainstream luxury cars that everybody's used to, Maserati's the way to go.
You know, a lot of folks know you, Brian, from the commercials, the billboards, the commercials, the radio commercials, television commercials, and so on. Tell me a little bit about that, and are those your real grandkids that we're hearing in those ads?
They are. originally, in the spirit of being full disclosure, I hired an actor, a little kid. He was 11 years old out of Chicago. But now my grandkids, they range from, you know, 4 months to 14 years old. And I've got a 12-year-old grandson that does most of the radio and does all the talking on the TV commercials. And he's as good as a professional, and I pay him a lot less.
That makes sense.
Well, it goes to his college fund.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Yeah, it's just you gotta keep a little thumb on these guys a little bit here. The new buildings. Tell me about the new buildings that you have planned or new dealerships that you'll be opening soon.
Well, what we're working on three at the same time. We're going to have the first Jeep-only dealership up on Route 1 in Linfield that will only sell the Jeep brand, which is a growing brand. They're going to have pickup trucks and a lot more vehicles down the road. We'll have the first one in New England, one of the first ones in the country. And we're building a new Infiniti dealership on Cross Street, at the junction of Andover Street and Cross Street, right across from North Shore Mall, up where there used to be a Lincoln Mercury dealership there years ago. Infiniti, we're going to start that construction. And we're in the process of finding, we have a couple of locations, we're building a new Ford dealership.
A new Ford dealership. Yeah, exactly. But that's not, the location's not set on that one yet.
Not yet. I'm going through the permitting and the zoning process for the new Ford dealership.
Gotcha. So there's a wide range of cars, Fords, Hondas, you mentioned Jeeps, we mentioned Nissans and whatever. So and as a businessman, that means you're dealing with, I would say, different vendors, but you're dealing with different companies all the time.
Different factories.
Different
factories. They all have a different philosophy, and right now it's all about market share. They're all fighting for market share, and the industry is declining. In the peak, we sold 17,600,000 cars in 2015, and I think it was 17.2 in 16, and this year is turning out to be about 17 million cars. So the industry is actually slowing down and declining a little bit. I'll brag and happy to say our market share is going up. So we're taking business from some other dealerships around us to continue our growth path. Yeah. And that's what the manufacturers are doing. They don't want to give up market share, but they're going to have to, because right now they're going to build about 1,500,000 cars that really aren't needed in the marketplace. So they have to incentivize them heavily to, you know, motivate people to buy them when they don't necessarily need a new car.
How you mentioned earlier that the 60% of the vehicles that you sell are leased. Now, what does that mean for resale? What does that mean for you as a dealer? Because you have new cars, and you'll always have previously owned vehicles on your lot. So what does that mean, and how has that changed in the business?
Well, the byproduct of leasing is most leases, the term runs 36, 39 to 42 to 48 months. So those cars come back into the marketplace, and they're called certified pre-owned cars. So the factory has a program. When you turn in your lease vehicle, I have an option to buy the car. If I don't want to buy the car, it goes to an auction, and then dealers from all over the country bid on it. And they make some nice cars. People, you know, 36, 48 months, cars are in really good shape with reasonable mileage on them. And that's the other thing with leasing. When you lease a car, you have to pay attention to your mileage, because it might be a 39-month lease, and you have 12,000 miles a year, or 10 or 15. So you get a lot of nice used vehicles coming in off of lease.
So, but if they are coming in back to you, you've leased a Honda Accord, it comes back to you, but don't you put that up for auction, or you keep that car yourself?
No, I keep them.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you might have a few extra. Sometimes you might have a few that aren't in great shape.
Yeah.
The factory takes them back, they recondition them, and they show up at the auctions. But the best form of a used car for us is one of our regular customers that we've serviced.
Yeah.
You know, we'd love to get those cars back, and leasing kind of perpetuates that every 36 months, every 39 months. It's great.
Yeah. Well, Brian, anything else you want to share with us about the business, about your family business, about the dealerships, or about the auto industry? Kind of an open-ended thing here.
Well, the business is changing rapidly, and it's changed a lot in the last 15, 20 years. The biggest change is we have public companies. Well, the biggest change is the Internet. Internet, people can shop at home, you can build a car, you can compare prices. I think it's great for the consumer to be able to do that. That was a huge change, started back early 90s.
Yeah.
And then the public companies now, I won't say they're taking over, but they're selling about 10% of the automobiles in the country. And a public company like Circuit City, remember Circuit City that went bankrupt? Well, they actually own CarMax. So CarMax is a byproduct of Circuit City. And these public companies will own 100, 200, sometimes 300 dealerships, and they run them like a big corporation. So, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But if you buy a car, and I won't mention names, but if you buy a car at one of the public companies, you're not going to see the owner. You're not going to see any family members. It's a big corporation, and that's how they run it. And if somebody has an issue or problem with a car, you have to rely on a service representative. You know, in our company, and we'll sell close to 20,000 cars this year, somebody has a problem, you call me, we'll take care of it. And my son runs the Jeep Chrysler dealership. My other son is a manager over to Maserati and Alfa Romeo. And my son-in-law, Brian Heaney, is my director of operations. And if somebody has a question, they get to one of us, it gets handled. And I think that's a big advantage doing business with a family. Yeah. You know, we all live in the community. We all shop locally. We know a lot of people. A lot of people know us. We try to do business with people that do business with us. And, you know, for us, it works.
Yeah. I'm gonna share one thing. I understand that one of the points that you want to emphasize to employees, because I heard this somewhere, is to make sure the dealerships look good. And they do look good. You know what I'm saying? You go by... You know, I go by the Kelly Honda on the Linway all the time. But it's just typical. It's a well-kept building. It looks great. You know, all of those things. And that's a stickler for you, isn't it?
Well, I'm a little OCD obsessive compulsive. I'll even say I'm a little OCD obsessive compulsive neurotic wacko. Sometimes my wife refers to me as that. But I like nice, clean buildings. You know, you go to a restaurant, you want to see a clean restaurant. You know, you want to go in the kitchen of a restaurant, you want to see it clean. So our service departments are clean, well-lit. We have, you know, nice toolboxes. We have a dress code for all our employees. Yeah. So when you walk into a dealership, you're going to see somebody in a shirt and tie, and the ladies are dressed properly. I think people appreciate that. I get comments all the time. I went to so-and-so, so-and-so. We go into your dealership, and everybody's, you know, nice and fresh-looking, and they're wearing a nice white shirt. And people do take notice and appreciate it.
Well, Brian, always good. Well, it's good talking with you. Nice meeting you, and best of luck with the dealerships here on the North Shore.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Brian Kelly with us from Kelly Automotive, and I'm Bill Newell on MSO News Sports.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, joining us on the line now is Dennis Hicks, who is Director of Student Engagement at North Shore Community College. Morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Rick.
Tell me a little bit about, first time we talk with someone, we like to get a little bit of background as to how that person got to where he is. So maybe a little bit about your background, your education, and how you got to be at North Shore.
Sure. So I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, went to college in West Virginia at Marshall University. I got my undergrad and graduate degrees from Marshall, and have worked at various universities across the nation, and ended up at North Shore about a year ago after having worked at George Mason University for 8 years. At North Shore Community College, I'm the Director of Student Engagement. My office oversees new student orientation. We have clubs and organizations for students, as well as recreation.
Okay. How'd you get from down south to beautiful downtown Beverly?
I was doing a national search. I wanted to move up in my position, in my career. I was an associate director at George Mason, and then I saw this opportunity at North Shore as a director, and I went for it.
Beautiful. Now, I noticed I said downtown Beverly because that's how far back I go. But now, what campus are you at? Which one?
I actually work on both campuses. I'm at the Danvers and Lynn campus.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay, well, it's interesting. We're going to be talking with Heather Atwood, who's in Detroit right now. So did you go to high school in Detroit?
No, I went to high school in Dearborn Heights.
Okay, all right, and I have a friend who's from over there as well. Okay, so tell me, it's Connections. The name of our show on Thursdays is called Connections, so here we go. I didn't know anything about that. So, now you work at North Shore. North Shore Community College, before we get to the program that we want to talk about, what exactly is your role at North Shore? You mentioned some of the programs that are involved, but tell me a little bit about these programs and how students are involved. Because I know North Shore, for me, serves a couple of purposes. It serves as a bridge between high school and a four-year college, but it also serves as that associate's degree and for professionals, for getting kids ready to get right out there in the workforce. So, how are you involved in that?
So my area is tied to the co-curricular programming, or some folks say extracurricular.
Mm-hmm.
But we work to put together programs that students will actually benefit from as well, outside of the classroom experience, that kind of ties it all together and builds their skills and prepares them for life outside of college, or if they transfer, prepares them for that next step when they transfer to a four-year institution.
Mm-hmm.
My area, we oversee new student orientation as well as clubs and organizations, and it gives students an opportunity to kind of get connected to what's going on at the college. We try to also connect them with areas in the community and really, give them a focus of developing themselves and their skills.
Mm-hmm. Give me an example, if you would, Dennis, because I'm a little, I know what you're talking about in general, but can you give me an example of maybe a student who has been involved in just, say, one of your programs, outside of the classroom, something that he or she has learned or been involved with?
Sure. One of the things that we've done recently would be our student government.
Mm-hmm.
Our students that are associated with student government have an opportunity to connect with not only, people on our campus, our professional staff, but they also can connect with people in the community. So, sometimes there's ties to our board of directors who happen to be, who happen to work out in the community. Sometimes it's working with our state representatives or mm-hmm. representing the college on different meetings and participating with people outside of our area. So a lot of that, when those kind of things happen, those aren't experiences that those students generally get.
Right.
When they are just going to class. Those are experiences that they would only have if they've gotten involved.
Beautiful.
So another one would be our Spark magazine. Spark magazine is a magazine that's given out to the community, it's given out to anyone who comes to our campus, but it features all of our students' work. So mm-hmm. it could be student artwork, student writing. And so these are experiences that they're having in their classroom, but now they're getting published and shared with the community.
It sounds almost like an internship program, too, in a way. Is this stuff that will help on a student's resume if he's going out into the workforce or going on to a four-year college?
Definitely. We encourage our students to, that's one of the main reasons that we encourage our students to get involved, is that when they're participating in those types of things, it translates very easily to their resume.
Mm-hmm.
To say that they had leadership skills, or that they were the treasurer of their club, they're managing money. So, we always want to make sure that they are getting an experience that they can go back out and say, well, I managed, the resources or the money for our organization for the 2 years that I was at North Shore. And whatever the nomination could be, it could be something that really helps them get an edge, you know, into their first career.
Absolutely. Well, I love it. I'm sorry for interrupting, but it sounds like this is great for the younger students. But I'm thinking this could also benefit some of your older students who come in and maybe they're looking for a career change, or maybe they've not been able to go to college before, but now they're able to. So it sounds like this can benefit them as well.
It sure does, because they can now try something different. You know, if you never had the opportunity to do some of these things, you know, whether you are in high school and you're coming to us fresh from high school, or you've been out of school for a while, you may have wanted to try something new, and this is the perfect area for you to try it, to get a feel for it, to experiment a little bit, to see what, you know, what really speaks to you.
I never knew there was so much going on there. This is so cool. Now, we got a we got a press release concerning this new program. It's called the NSCC and YMCA of Metro North Partner for Student/Staff Healthy Living. And according to Dr. Gentile, the NSCC president, she says this is an exciting new partnership that will offer students and staff access to healthy living options. So tell me a little bit about this new program that you're involved in.
We are partnered with the YMCA of Metro North to offer, and it's being offered to students as a way for them to get more connected to the community, and offering them, you know, all the fitness classes that come along with that, the opportunity to connect with folks just within their own communities, because now they can go to Peabody, they can go to Lynn, or, you know, the various other locations in the area, and really connect with others, you know, through those through this program. With the students, it's really exciting for them, because it presents a really affordable way for them to, you know, stay healthy, to get connected with other folks, and hopefully give them new opportunities that they didn't know existed.
It sounds like it's a great program for people. You know, North Shore is a commuter school. And so when students don't have time to avail themselves of facilities on campus, and as you mentioned, they're in Peabody or Beverly or Lynn or wherever, you know, everybody has a YMCA there. So to make this affordable, it makes it really easy for the commuter, I would think.
Yeah, it's really, really a great program, because, as you know, like one of our campuses offers activities in a gym. And that's our Lynn campus. Our Danvers campus, we don't really have facilities for recreation. Mm-hmm. So being able to connect with the YMCA has allowed us the opportunity to get the fitness and the recreation aspect out to our students a little bit more.
Sounds perfect. Now, look, you got people. I know that the classes are getting underway for fall right now, but there are always people. I don't know, kids call it a gap year. There are adults who are thinking, you know, maybe I'd like to try something different. And then you've got your high school seniors just going into school now, and they're beginning to look. And I know several instructors over the years at North Shore, and I think it's an absolute gem here in the area. It's a fantastic place. But what's your advice now for people thinking about where they'll be going either in January or next September?
My advice is to, you know, do your research and see what, you know, what you're interested in. And even if you're not sure about what it is that you're interested in, you know, walk through our doors and talk to someone just to get a feel for what you could do. You know, there's different avenues. When I speak to students all the time, I say, if you don't know what you want to do, you can just get started. You can make the first steps, because there's always the gen ed courses that you can take that will get your, you know, get you moving in the right direction. And there's also career exploration that you can do on both campuses that will help you determine what you might want to go into.
Sounds like you're involved in quite a bit of counseling as well in your position.
Yes. Everyone, you know, talks to students, and we make sure that they are aware of all the opportunities of, you know, that surround them, all the different resources. We are, you know, we work very closely together. Everyone on our campuses, you know, work very closely together so we can help all the students, you know, be successful.
How do you see this, Dennis? Just my final question, I guess. But, you know, having gone to big universities yourself, and, you know, we have so many big universities in the area and colleges, How do you see North Shore when you talk to kids? Because I'm a former math teacher. I taught for 40 years, and I know my thing was when I would talk to kids, if they weren't really enamored of going to a big school and they weren't quite sure what they're doing, man, North Shore is just, North Shore has everything you need. So how do you look at a community college versus first year in a big school?
I say with the community college, you really get that closeness here. You're not – at a larger school, you generally kind of find your own pockets of communities, and here is this one larger community. So generally, we know a lot of the student spaces.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of the same students walking through the halls. You build better and stronger connections with those students. Just in the students that work in our office, like, just to learn about their life experiences and what they, you know, what they come in here with and what we try to teach them, you know, is just, you know, it's amazing to me, like, just to be a part of that.
I agree.
And if a student comes, and if a student comes in and they're, like, kind of a little bit nervous about what to expect, just know that at North Shore, our community is so close. And it's really about how you want to, you know, immerse yourself into our community.
Yeah, and, it, and
you can find very strong connections here that will, you know, help you be successful.
And I would add to that, and knowing so many instructors over there in both campuses, I would add that there is also that personal touch actually in the academic classroom as well. These people get to know the students.
Exactly.
All right, Dennis. Anything else you want to mention?
Just know that, you know, North Shore is a great school. We, you know, want to make sure that we are connected to the community. If anyone has community activities that are going on and they want to share it with us, feel free to reach out to me. And we're always happy to, you know, to do some connections with folks in our, you know, both communities, our Danvers community and our Lynn community, and help our students be immersed in that.
All right, and I would ask you the same thing of MSO News Sports. Anytime you guys have something you'd like to publicize, just send us along a press release or an email, and we'll be happy to follow up.
All right, thanks a lot, Ray.
All right, Dennis, thank you. Good luck. Have a great day.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye. That is Dennis Hicks, who is the Director of Student Engagement at North Shore Community College, in reference to the new North Shore Community College and YMCA of Metro North partner for student, staff, and healthy living. For student staff healthy living, but obviously a lot more on the docket as well. So again, the best way to get a hold of the Director of Student Engagement, you can email dhicks@northshore.edu. This is msonewsports.com.
MSONewsSports.com is known for connecting North Shore sports fans with local sports newsmakers. Features on teams and players. Exclusive video interviews following the big games. Live event coverage such as high school football, basketball, hockey, and baseball. Live video coverage of the Gloucester Fiesta. MSO also connects you to the area news leaders, mayors, state representatives, state senators, town administrators, city and town elected officials, business leaders, and more. Entertainment features. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook at MSO News Sports. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Leave a voice message anytime, 978-325-3638. Stay connected to your North Shore neighbors by simply clicking on msonewsports.com. This is Connections on msonewsports.com.
All right, we're back now on Connections, and joining us from somewhere on this planet is Heather Atwood of Two Moms and the Midterm Podcast. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm just ducky. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm not just somewhere. I'm in Novi, Michigan. Novi, Michigan is midway between Detroit and Ann Arbor.
Novi, Michigan. How do I spell it? Because I have to look it up now.
N as in Nancy, O V as in Victory, I as in my daughter's name, Isabel.
Okay. Novi, Michigan. All right. So, yeah. Heather, ordinarily we talk to you in Gloucester from the Pleasant Street Tea Company about food, but you're on a different mission right now. So fill us in. What's been going on this week?
So I'm in Novi, Michigan because in my new role as a partner in the MidPod, Nisi Panetta and I are two colleagues, and we have created this podcast called The MidPod, and we are going around the country covering the 2018 midterm elections. We're going to various swing districts in the country looking at the races, and, you know, yes, I have left food for politics, but not completely, because we are covering these districts. We're looking at these districts carefully, interviewing candidates, interviewing citizens who live here, and taking away a recipe.
Of course.
We have a potluck dinner in each community, and we had our potluck dinner last night. It was a beautiful dinner hosted in a beautiful home, a woman who lives in Bloomfield Hills, and we had a potluck, and there was some great food there.
Well, tell us about that before we get into the other thing.
Well, the food, it was classic potluck Michigan food, and that's what I had asked people to bring. And there was a particularly delicious potato salad. Sounds boring, but this is not boring at all. And it was a recipe from the Detroit Free Press something like 15 years ago.
Oh, my.
It was redless potatoes with olive oil and lots of scallions and a little feta cheese. It was really good.
Well, you know how we're doing our top 50 countdown, and a shepherd's pie was on the list. Well, listen, the potato salad is one of my favorites, so that's good.
Oh, so there you go. See, I'm still winning with you.
Excellent,
right?
Excellent. Yes, absolutely. And now, when you're doing these potluck dinners on this political tour, are you taking pictures and getting recipes, taking notes? Because as I said before, I see a book here.
Yeah, we are, and who even knows about a book? But we're having a lot of fun and learning so much and meeting so many wonderful people. And, you know, that's, yes, so book maybe. Pictures are on Instagram. That's the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, you know, there's been a lot of, I hate to say ill will, but tension in this country since November's election. And one of the things that has been so great about these two trips we've made to two districts is that meeting the people who live in these places, both sides of the aisle, people are good. People are really nice. They're good. They're concerned citizens. They're active citizens. They care about their communities. They care about the country. It's really so great to connect with these people and hear how much people care and how good people are.
Well, we've always said that there are more people, more good people than bad, and you know, it's good that that's bearing it out across the country. And the other thing I noticed, Heather, which is not completely off topic, but quite a ways out there, is the disaster going on in the Gulf region of the United States, Texas, Louisiana, and so on.
Yeah.
That has brought so many people together. I've seen in reports, I know on the North Shore here back in Massachusetts, but also across the country where people, it doesn't matter what your background is, you're giving to help those down there in Texas. And those down there in Texas, doesn't matter what your background is, you're helping each other out. So, you know, it's good to see that resiliency taking place.
Yeah, and you know, I will sort of, I think I'm staying on your theme. Forgive me if I'm digressing a little bit, but I think I'm kind of there. One of the conversations my colleague Nisi and I have started to have in this district is a return to saying, you know, government is good. Because we have so much rhetoric in this country saying government is terrible, less government, the less we have the better, pare it down. And you look at Harvey. You know, this is where government shines.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is where, you know, we need we need the Department of Homeland Security. We need organized people to know how to take care of these climatic disasters. So, you know, this is where we see the best of government.
Well,
and then I'm going to tell another story. Just this morning, we interviewed this gentleman. He's probably in his 80s. He lives in something called Fox Run, which is one of the largest senior residences in the state of Michigan. There are at least 1,200 people who live in Fox Run. And the gentleman we interviewed he is the chairman of their political awareness committee. And he manages forums for candidates who come to Fox Run because this elderly housing, the senior residences are so large that they are their own precinct.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it sounds like Florida.
They have 92% voter turnout.
Well, so, isn't that cool?
Isn't that amazing? So this is a place that candidates around here pay attention to. So we were interviewing Jerry Scheel, and he manages the forums for in which candidates come to Fox Run and speak. And we were asking him about these forums, and he said two things that were really lovely. First, he said, he told me how they organize them. The candidates are invited to speak. They are told that this is a private residence. This is not a public forum. And therefore, Foxron is allowed to set parameters on what these candidates say. And they are not allowed to speak about their opponents.
Mm-hmm.
They say what their background is, what is relevant what in their background to their running for office, and what their personal platform is. And they said, we are not interested in this national rhetoric of attacking your opponent. So, and he made it clear that in a public forum, free speech doesn't allow you to mm-hmm. set parameters, you know. But I just love that he was trying, they're trying to keep the process dignified.
Well, what's interesting, Heather, is that when you set up a forum for discussion, debate, whatever you want to call it, you can set parameters, but nobody seems to do that, and especially on the national stage, which is, to me, astounding. So I guess the story here, the moral here is with age comes wisdom.
Exactly. Well, he said one time he had to step onto the stage and say to the candidate, I'm sorry, but you were told with the rules, and will you please, you know, stop.
All right, we're back now on Connections, and joining us from somewhere on this planet.
We interviewed he is the chairman of their political awareness committee, and he manages forums for candidates who come to Fox Run because this elderly housing, the senior residences are so large that they are their own precinct.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it sounds like Florida.
They have 92% voter turnout.
Well, isn't that cool?
Isn't that amazing? So this is a place that candidates around here pay attention to. So we were interviewing Jerry Scheel, and he manages the forums for in which candidates come to Fox Run and speak. And we were asking him about these forums, and he said two things that were really lovely. First, he said, he told me how they organize them. The candidates are invited to speak. They are told that this is a private residence. This is not a public forum. And therefore, Foxron is allowed to set parameters on what these candidates say. And they are not allowed to speak about their opponents.
Mm-hmm.
They say what their background is, what is relevant what in their background to their running for office, and what their personal platform is. And they said, we are not interested in this national rhetoric of attacking your opponent. So, and he made it clear that in a public forum, free speech doesn't allow you to mm-hmm. set parameters, you know. But I just love that he was trying, they're trying to keep the process dignified.
Well, what's interesting, Heather, is that when you set up a forum for discussion, debate, whatever you want to call it, you can set parameters, but nobody seems to do that, and especially on the national stage, which is, to me, astounding. So I guess the story here, the moral here is with age comes wisdom.
Exactly. Well, he said one time he had to step onto the stage and say to the candidate, I'm sorry, but you were told with the rules, and will you please, you know, stop discussing your opponent. We're not interested in your feelings about your opponent. We just are interested in what you have to say, what your platform is.
Love it.
Isn't that lovely?
It is.
And then the second thing he said, I was trying to be, I was fishing a little bit for a good story. So I was saying, you know, can you tell a story of one of your candidates who came, like a particularly good, happy story or something unusual that happened? And he, of course, pivoted and in a very gentlemanly way. And he said, you know, people who run and work in government are good people. They are working so hard for us. And people don't understand how, you know, what it takes to dedicate your life to public service. And these are good people. And you just don't hear people saying that about politicians anymore, you know?
Well, yeah, because of a certain example somewhere. I don't know where. But, no, that's, you know, it's reassuring, Heather. And I think it's amazing that you're ferreting this out in a two-woman program here. But you're seeing with your eyes what others should be seeing, and we can see through your eyes and hear through your ears and so forth what you two guys are doing. So that's tremendous. And can you tell me a little bit briefly, Heather, about the candidates that you have interviewed or will be interviewing?
Yes, I will. We have interviewed two candidates. First of all, I will tell you that the incumbent is a man, the congressman from the Michigan's 11th Congressional District, is David Trott. David Trott is independently wealthy and acquired his wealth in the foreclosure business. He is a lawyer who worked with banks in managing foreclosures.
Mm-hmm.
So that says something about his position.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democratic candidates running against him, they still have to have their own primary, are two women. One woman is named Feruz Saad. She grew up in the district. She is Lebanese. Her family owns a they immigrated here. Her parents immigrated here and opened a meat company, which is still in existence, in a wholesale meat business in Detroit. And Feruz worked in the Obama administration in the Department of Homeland Security.
Wow.
So, again, she witnessed the BP oil spill, and she was one of the people managing that.
Oh.
So she saw how government can really help. You know,
mm-hmm.
she that was a prime example for her that she gave to us of, you know, when government does good work and we all need it.
Oh.
So her job is she works for the mayor of Detroit, Mike Duggan, who is a whole fabulous story unto himself. And she is managing the immigrant community in Detroit. And I'm not really saying that right. What she does is she acts as she helps the immigrant community integrate into Detroit, helps small immigrant businesses get through the paperwork of getting their businesses set up. You know, she's mm-hmm. that kind of a person. And what she believes that the immigrant community actually can work as an economic engine, and it's important to get them integrated into.
All right, let's not give away the whole interview here because we have to listen to it when it's published. And
right.
I want to remind our listeners that we're talking. Heather is talking from Novi, Michigan, which is a town. I'm guessing it's a suburb of Detroit of just under 60,000. So, Heather, when will this become available? When do we get to listen to all these interviews that you two have done?
I have to tell you about one more candidate. I'll
oh, okay.
Really fast.
Yep.
The other candidate is Haley Stevens. She is a powerhouse. This is a really fascinating thing. Remember, the incumbent worked in the bank, the foreclosure industry,
mm-hmm.
and Haley Stevens worked in the Obama administration. She was chief of staff running the auto bailout.
Okay.
We are talking about the suburbs of Detroit.
We're mm-hmm.
talking about this is where the auto industry lives. She's from this district, and she worked in the Obama administration. Administration managing the auto rescue.
All right, so it sounds to me like it's going
race,
to be
right?
It's going to be a volatile campaign, I would think. This will definitely catch the national eye.
Definitely.
All right. So when do we get to hear this? And tell me more about the blog.
Okay, it will be up. We are doing three districts before we go live. So the next one is West Virginia's 2nd congressional district. So by the time we go live, we will have three podcasts ready for people to hear, and that will probably be in about 3 weeks.
All right, fantastic. And on Instagram, how do we find these pictures and so on? Because I have no idea how to do that.
Oh, okay. Just go to the MidPod.
Okay.
Go to the Instagram and Google the MidPod.
Okay.
In their search, put the MidPod.
All right. Is there a Facebook page or anything else that we can refer listeners to?
We do have a Facebook page. It is called the MidPod. We do have a landing page that describes what we're doing right now. If you just go to themidpod.com,
okay.
It is right there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, Heather, fantastic. I can't wait to read about it, to hear about it, and congratulations on the work that you two are doing. And enjoy the cuisine and be safe, and we'll see you next week, I hope.
Thank you so much. I'm off to the Michigan State Fair now.
Go get them, Heather. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. That's Heather Atwood of Two Moms on Tour with the MidPod, the Midterm Podcast, and that will be live soon. Just doing an absolutely amazing and interesting job. Can't wait to hear all the interviews that they're doing. All right, this is MSO News Sports, and this is Connections on MSO News Sports. We'll be back.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, we're very pleased now to be joined by Gloucester Mayor Safathia Romeo-Taken. And Madam Mayor, good morning and happy end of summer, I guess.
Don't say that word, end of summer. There's never an end. We're going to have it all in September and October because we had too much rain. So please don't say end of summer.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we do have great weather in September and October.
That's right. Just say we're going to continue into an Indian summer, which would be kind of nice.
All right. I'll do that. Now, listen, before we get to the topic of the day, I must ask you maybe a quick review on how you felt summer went. I know you don't have the statistics or anything like that, but in general, despite the fact it was kind of a cool summer, how'd things go in Gloucester overall, do you think?
Well, we did have tourists. Unfortunately, our beach revenues are down because of the rain and the cold and the wind. But the tourist part has not declined. We actually had more transit boaters coming in and spending some money, as you people would see out in the middle of the harbor. There was larger vessels, and we did have people coming in and out and staying at our hotels. And so that itself was still continuing. And what happened is when it rained and there was nothing else to do or it was cold, they did more shopping and more eating in our restaurants. So I don't think there's going to be a decline that way.
Mm-hmm.
On our beach revenues, but that's okay.
Very good. Yeah, well, you can't do much about the way the temperature is, but in Gloucester there are many highlights of the year, and certainly the downtown block parties I think have been fairly successful. Is there one yet to go?
Yes, there's going to be one this Friday night. It'll be the last one of the year, and it's going to be on September 1st. Usually it's on a Saturday, but it's going to be on a Sunday because we have a whole bunch of events happening this weekend in Gloucester.
And that's why I have called. The great highlights of the summer, of course, are always the St. Peter's Fiesta to kick off the summer, and then something called the Schooner Festival in Gloucester. And, Madam Mayor, let's get right to that. So,
absolutely. I look forward to it. Some of the schooners are coming in. We made sure that we had some, because of the repairs that we had last year on some of the wharfs, but we have it all settled, all ready to go. We have 26 vessels coming in this weekend, and the Columbia will be back, and so we're going to have a different race for the older boats, like, you know, our wonderful adventure. So it's going to be a beautiful weekend. It's going to be wonderful seeing all these vessels in our harbor. That's what it was. It brings back the memories of the old times when you hear about the stories of the schooners. So that's, to me, it's like just breathtaking to go on the boulevard on a Sunday morning and hear and see that race is going to be amazing. Unfortunately, I won't be able to go on one of the vessels. The Adventures asked me to come on, but I cannot go this year. I have a wedding, actually, on Sunday. So it's kind of difficult to have one on Saturday. It's a busy weekend for everyone, but it starts off with the mayor's reception, which is I have a little gathering with some of the vessel captains and some of the people locally, and that's from 5 to 7, and then we kick it off, and then there's the block party on Friday night. And then Saturday, as you know, they have the Parade of Lights and the fireworks, and there'll be a concert down on the boulevard, and it'll be, you know, really entertainment going on all around the city, so that'll be great. Sunday, we have the race, which is beautiful, seeing those vessels. And then Sunday night at the Maritime Gloucester, they award the trophies, and Monday is like a relaxation, and then that's when we But the fact is also Maritime Gloucester will be doing some things around Harbor Loop. So every day from, you know, starting tonight with the Harbor Loop concert all the way until, you know, Monday is going to be something happening in Gloucester, maybe one or two events, but it all coexists with one another. And don't forget that when you're here on Monday, since you're going to be here for the weekend and you're relaxing after all the races, go see one, or go to Rocky Neck, go see some of our artist colonies, go everywhere to look at the beautiful collections that they did this year. Is amazing.
Absolutely. And, you know, what also is amazing, Madam Mayor, and I know you're busy, thanks for taking the time this morning, but we saw a couple of super yachts in the harbor a couple of weeks ago. Then we saw a cruise ship in the harbor. And now sitting out there, as I speak, is the Columbia tall ship. Where on earth can you see this variety?
Nowhere. You know, it doesn't matter what's happening everywhere else. We have something happening here all the time. Unfortunately, my heart and my prayers are with the victims of Harvey. My husband's sister actually was a transit from Katrina, and she moved to Houston, Texas, and now the Harvey, but she's very fortunate because her house did not get flooded, but some of her neighbors have just a little. She's more north, thank God. She's in Harrison County, but, you know, it's sad. It's sad. And she says, you know, just keep praying and whatever everyone's doing. So our hearts are with them. And I, at my one of my speeches tomorrow, is going to a moment for them to recognize that we need to help our sister cities and doing something. Gloucester is helping. Salem, Boston. We are wonderful. In Massachusetts and all over the country when it comes to helping our own. That's great because yesterday they raised, I believe, over $500,000 just in a couple of hours of money because that's what's needed for the Red Cross and people giving to Red Cross. I'm a volunteer of the Salvation Army. I know they're raising money. So it's just amazing. Unfortunately, some people are crying while half of the country is also laughing, and that's kind of hard, but our minds, heart, and souls are with Harvey, and I'm hoping that, you know, the race tomorrow, Sunday, that someone will say something towards that and say, you know what, they're winning for them. That'll be kind of great.
Cool.
We're winning for you.
Very good. All right, Madam Mayor, anything else you'd like to mention about the weekend?
I just want to say, you know what, please come to Gloucester. Enjoy the beautiful Gloucester alone is just beautiful, but to see the schooners out in our ocean is going to be amazing. So if you're not doing anything this weekend, instead of camping, camp this way. You'll have a wonderful time and guarantee you there's not going to be a night that you're going to say I'm bored.
Fantastic. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That is Gloucester Mayor Safathia Romeo Taken. This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com. There you go, just like that, an hour gone. Sorry about the little glitch, Heather, in the interview with Heather, again, 2 weeks in a row. And I know what's causing it. I will get that fixed. Schooner Festival up in Gloucester. We thank the Gloucester Mayor for taking the time with us this morning, Gloucester Mayor Safathia Romeo Taken. Also, thanks to guest Dennis Hicks of the North Shore Community College, and, of course, to Heather of the Midterm Podcast, reporting from somewhere near Detroit, a little town called Novi. Actually, it's not too that little, 60,000. And, of course, to Brian Kelly, President and CEO of the Kelly Auto Group, in his interview with Bill Newell. Thank you, one and all. Please email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Don't forget tomorrow, Trending Now with Josh Arnold at 10 a.m. live here on MSO. For Bill Newell, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.